We turn in the pages of Holy Scripture to the book of Proverbs first in the Old Testament, to Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 1 to 14. So we turn first of all to the book of Proverbs, to the 30th chapter, and I'll read from verses 1 to 14. And this is found on page 760 of the Bible at the door of the church. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, his utterance. This man declared to Atiel and Ukal, "Surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal, and profane the name of my God. Do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." And then we turn to Psalms. To the book of Psalms, to the 119th Psalm, where our minister has been preaching from. And we turn to verse 137 to verse 144. So we turn up to the 119th Psalm, and I'll read from verse 137 to 144, and this is on page 709 of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, Yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. So,
well, good afternoon. Glad you're here as we continue in Psalm 119, this series. As many of you know, we've been working our way through this longest of the Psalms the last few months. And the series is, we've called Walking and Worshiping in God's Word, as this is what this Psalm 119 is all about. As David leads us into a greater knowledge and understanding and trust in God's Word that points us to salvation, we know that's in Jesus Christ, but also as the Word of God transforms our lives and renews us. So, as David has entered this second half of Psalm 119, we saw that about a month ago, I'd say, around that. We entered the second half of this long psalm. This is where he really came to last Sunday, this idea of impact. In the section right before where we read today, last Sunday, we saw the impact that God's Word is to have in all of life. As we saw last Sunday, David doesn't seem at first in that section to have a focus, but to highlight sort of his favorite benefits and blessings of God's Word as God's light shining in his life to guide him on his path. But with a deeper look last Sunday, we saw that David's focus in that section before the one we read today is the impact of God's Word that it must have in a Christian's life, even in how we view the world of apathetic, especially non-believers, and sometimes even those who claim to be believers, apathetic view of God's Word, an apathetic response to the truth. David was weeping at the end of that last stanza last Sunday, before we get into today's section. Now, David has been telling us in this second half of this psalm how God's Word is eternal. It gives us great wisdom we have joy in as we walk in the light of His truth that protects us from moral evil and guides us to live in God's way. And we see, don't we, some of those themes, if you've been in this series, you see that picked up again today in this section. So we're going to look at this 18th section this afternoon, and then as I'm off for six Sundays, we'll have Christmas when I get back, and then we'll get back to the final four sections at the start of the new year to finish off Psalm 119. But what do we learn in the section today, number 18, Sada, is at the top of it. Now remember, this psalm is structured using the Hebrew alphabet, remember, with each stanza containing eight verses. All of them have that. And each of the verses in that specific stanza focus on that particular letter. And today's section is this one, Sada, at the top. That's the Hebrew letter, which is the root letter that's used for different forms in Hebrew of righteousness or righteous. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the Word. We see that today. And as you do a quick read even just over the stanza we read today, that righteousness or righteousness of God or of God's Word, it's running from beginning to end, isn't it, of this section. Aiken said a form of the word righteousness occurs six times in these eight verses. So this stanza, these eight verses we read, focuses on righteousness, and particularly the righteousness that is in God's Word that we rely on, the righteousness of God. So David has already talked about many times how we can rely on God's Word, right? How we must trust it. We've seen that over and over. How it alone shows us the way of life. How we're to live to please God, as we only can do that through God's truth and God's Word. So why focus now on the righteousness of God? What does that mean? Why now? And how does this help us to walk in the light of God's truth? Well, righteousness, what is it? Righteousness is right living when it comes down to it, right? It's the perfect character of God, though. The righteousness of God is the perfect character of God on display in the world. And it shows how God desires men and women in His image to live in right living with God, but also, of course, right living with other people, with man. Wayne Grudem said, God's righteousness means that God always acts in accordance with what is right and is Himself the final standard, God is, of what is right. Now, Romans 1, we know, in the gospel, right, it says in Romans 1, a righteousness from heaven is revealed. It's not man's righteousness, Paul tells us about in Romans, that saves us, right? It's God's righteousness. A righteousness revealed from heaven, from faith, from first to last, Paul says in Romans 1. So righteousness deals with God's perfect character, His holiness, but as it affects what is true, what is the way to live, what is right and perfect, what is done in action by God ultimately in perfection. And we see that ultimately in Jesus Christ, don't we? So Romans says a righteousness from heaven comes as God displays His perfect character from heaven in Jesus Christ, who lived in perfection and died in perfection to save us, so that by faith we are saved and we know God's righteous, perfect character. We experience it then as we walk by faith, as we trust Him in this world. So David, before Christ came, he seems to be, of course, looking forward to that, to Christ. But he's really, David, in this section of the psalm, he's locked in on the righteousness of God that comes from who God is and matches with, of course, God's Word. God commands His Word. It matches perfectly. In other words, in times of trials, David's saying, in a world of disarray and unrighteousness, where men hate each other and live in selfishness and do what they want to do, and even those who claim the name of God do that, he says there is a righteousness of God that never changes that's in God's Word. Last Sunday's section showed us the impact of God's light. I believe this Sunday focuses on the assurance that's in God's light, the righteousness of God that comes from God, that is God, that's in His Word, the assurance of God's light. In a world of changing ideas of what is right, in a world where people will treat us unjustly and unfairly, in a world where, as Psalm 11 says, you know that Psalm David wrote, the foundations seem to be crumbling. In that world, where do we turn? Well, of course, to God's Word. We turn to God's Word that is righteous, that shows us true righteousness. We turn to the one true God who gives us this Word that comes from His righteous character and is at the heart of His righteousness in His character. And it is at its heart righteous in character. So last Sunday, we saw a number of petitions in that section, didn't we, last week? This Sunday, there's only one prayer. Did you notice? At the very end. Give me understanding, he'll say at the end. In view of your everlasting righteousness in your Word, help me to understand that. If I grasp that, David's saying that's where life is. This section that we're looking at today is a confession. It has prayer at the end, yeah, but it's really a confession. It's David speaking out. Confessing, saying, this is what's true about God. This is what's true about His righteousness, about His Word and righteousness in a world of wickedness. So David starts with God who is righteous, 137, and he ends in 144 with the righteousness of God's testimonies that are everlasting. And in between, you see, David is struggling with an unrighteous world, a wicked world, in view of a righteous God and His Word. And as he faces wicked enemies, as he faces his own weakness, feeling small, as he says. Borgman said this section is about the righteous God and the reeling saint. He says reeling is one of those vivid words that creates a picture. Reeling is about being unstable, moving side to side, feeling like you're going to fall. He feels in a way that he is reeling, but he turns to the righteousness of God in God's Word. He's facing internal struggle between his firm conviction of God's righteousness in His Word, based in God's character, and yet the actual trials that David is going through. So this stanza, as one man said, reflects the honesty of this struggle. As David reels and struggles back and forth with what he knows to be true and what he's experiencing in reality. So what grounds us? What helps us in a world like this? Knowing God who is righteous, by faith in Christ, this is the only in His Word that we know that righteousness. But what does that look like? And as we live in an evil world, what helps us to respond and not react, not join into the crowd of sin and unrighteousness? What will help us live with faith in God who is righteous, who never changes, as we look to His Word, as we walk in the light of His Word, and we don't fall into the traps of all the unrighteousness around us? Well, David seems to show us some strategies here we're going to look at for righteous response based in God's truth in a world where we're pressured can cause us to be distracted, to react, as I said, and act with sin instead of righteousness. Remember, righteousness comes from God through faith, showing us how to love God, how to love others, how to live in a way that pleases God. And it is meant to affect, of course, our day-to-day way of living. So what are the strategies we see in David's response? We're going to see the refocus he has on God to start, to reflect on God's Word, to resist other loves, and recall our purpose, and then to rely, finally, on God's strength. So number one here, let's look at 137. If you look at the very start of this section, he starts out saying, refocus on God. He starts with the person of God. As we live in a wicked world, our first strategy, number one, for a righteous response in faith in a wicked world, in 137 there, is refocus on God. So David shows us the need to refocus on God, the person of God. God is righteous. He says, "You, O Lord, are righteous." The standard of righteousness. God is righteousness. David seems to say the only way, you see, to remember clearly what righteousness is in a world of fallen confusion and distraction and selfishness is to always go back to true north. Refocus on God. Always go back to God. He says, "You, O Lord, are righteous." And of course, to do that, we've got to go to God's Word constantly, don't we? Which is what he does. To reflect on who God is. But Boyce said, anyone who cares about righteousness, what is right, how to live rightly in this world, they've got to study the Bible. This is where we know this. And whoever cares about righteousness to live in a way that pleases God must go to God's Word. This is true for pastors and leaders and government leaders. But this is true for all of us as Christians, isn't it? So we start with the author of the Bible, of course, who is God, who, as David reminds us, is always righteous. Righteous are you, 137 says. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Remember, folks, the point is God never changes. The one who wrote the Word of God never changes. And whatever God does, His actions, His decisions, and therefore what He says is always true. It's always right. It's righteous. Because God is righteous, we may be sure God's judicial decisions about what He does, what He says, how He runs things, are going to always be done in the right way. There's not going to be any crookedness in any way in who God is and therefore what His Word says. We refocus on the righteous God in a crooked world because in Him, no decision He makes in any way is ever have any deception in it, any untruth in it. Not one decision is not going to be, it will always be straight. It's always right. The world is crooked, yes, and we know God works through the evil of the world for His glory. But God's Word will always be relied on. It's never not righteous because God is righteous. His Word is always right. And therefore, if we rely upon the Word, we're relying upon God, we'll never go astray. And this is why we have to keep walking in the light of God's Word, as David had said earlier in this psalm. Borgman, this man said, righteousness is God's perfect conformity to His own intrinsic moral nature, which compels Him to always uphold the worth of God's glory and to act for that glory. So God is righteous in his being and his deeds, in who he is and in what he says and what he does. As one man said, you cannot be righteous in the Bible without doing righteousness. So the righteousness of God means, as this man says, something like God's trustworthiness. God is perfectly trustworthy in acting on behalf of those who call on him. So this first application, we're to believe the reliability of the Scripture. To rely on God's Word means we can rest our present and our future and all of it without fear of it ever letting us down. Romans 1, you know, we said that earlier. It says there's a righteousness revealed from heaven in truth in Christ. If God, we said this before in the Psalm, if God had not done this and revealed his righteousness, what is right in his perfect character, we wouldn't know it. But God has revealed it in the Word of God and then, of course, in the gospel in Christ. God had to reveal it to us. He is the standard. He is righteous. We don't come up with our own idea of right and wrong and goodness and love. Well, that's the loving thing to do. In a world of confusion, in a world of wickedness, where we feel the change and the reeling and the struggles, refocus on the Lord, on God who is righteous. God just doesn't teach us about righteousness, what's right. He doesn't just show us what it is. He is it. He is righteous, David says. That's why we always keep our focus on why we come to the Word of God. Yes, it is to know the way of salvation in Christ. Yes. Yes, it is to grow in salvation. Yes. Yes, it is to know how to please God. Yes. But at the heart of why we come to the Word of God is to know the God who is the only standard of righteousness, who is holy, who is perfect, who is right in all he says and does, to know him. Our salvation is in knowing him through Christ. It's in his word alone that we know him and in the gospel of Christ and then walk in truth. If you want to know what righteousness is, then we have to get to know in the word the one true and living God. To see perfect righteousness in action, we look to his word and we look to Jesus, of course, in his word. The one who lived it out perfectly, died in our place for our unrighteousness, and through faith saves us. The point is, God wants us to know that righteousness by grace through faith and truth. He wants us to know him who is righteousness, who never changes, and live in light of that. He doesn't just want us just to know principles, just to know things. He wants us to know the righteous one behind all of that. Oh Lord, you are righteous. Number two, reflect on God's word. Promises of God. Look at 138, what he says here. And by the way, how do we know this God? Well, Romans 1 says, right, how does God solve the problem of us being unrighteous and him remaining righteous and still saving us? The puzzle is solved through the gospel, isn't it? Through Christ, who takes our place on the cross. That's what Romans is all about. He remains righteous and justifies us who are unrighteous through Christ. But number two, look at 138. Reflect on God's word, the promises of God, the scripture. He says, your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. See how he goes to the testimonies of God that God commands. God is righteous, but he gives these commandments. They are very faithful. So strategy number two for a righteous response in an unrighteous world, 138, is this one. Reflect on God's word. So David shows us the need to reflect on the truth, which lines up, of course, perfectly with God's righteous character. And therefore, the word of God coming from God is perfectly right, perfectly righteous. We're to reflect on it. The word of God reflects the character of God, one man said. Therefore, we should reflect constantly. This is what David said, reflect constantly on the Word of God. And this is what David seems to be doing in verse 138. If you look there, you are righteous, he said, 137. Your testimonies, which you commanded, you who are righteous. So I'm going to reflect on them. They're very faithful. Yes, they are. Achan said, because the Christian God is righteous in who he is also righteous in what he commands, what he reveals. All of his judgments and precepts are just and right. So it's the Word of God, folks, that we remember we have to turn to, don't we? Every day, every constantly that we look to. It's there alone that we discover salvation and how to live and are renewed in our thinking. And it's God's ways that are without flaw. They're without deception because God commands them. God's Word is righteous because He is righteous and He commands it. So there are no lies in the Word. There's not an ounce of deception, as we said. But the point is, when we read and reflect on God's truth, and we know they're coming from the God then, who never changes, who all He does is righteous, even when we don't see how they make sense, we rely on them. Even when we feel we're in the clouds, like in an airplane, right? A pilot, right, can't see where he's going. He's got to depend on the instrument panel, not the way he feels. We know they are true. We rely on them. Someone said to doubt or question the righteous nature of God's Word is to question the righteous nature of God Himself. So I think the point implied in this by David, as you think about it, is that we first accept the authority of God's Word. Okay, you are a Christian here today. You have done that, but we have to always remember that, don't we? And maybe be renewed in that commitment. But then we abide in His Word, thinking on His commands. And over time, we become more anchored in His truth. And we're clear more and more on the faithfulness of God's commands that never change, that stand the test of time. As David does that here and says, they are very faithful, your truth, your commands. See, the more we reflect on God's truth, the more it becomes clear how righteous His Word is. It alone shows us life. And then more and more we see the Word alone stands the test of time. It shows us alone how to live and endures. God's righteousness involves His faithfulness, doesn't it? Great is your faithfulness, we sang. His enduring character that is true, that is pure. As we reflect in it, we grasp this, don't we, more and more. We know that His character, who He is alone what will last. And His Word has what alone will last. When other things fall apart, when other things fade, God is faithful. And David finds it. He says, your Word, your commands are very faithful. Think about it, as Paul said, when you struggle with temptation, remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. We remember that verse, right? He says, when you're in temptation that's common to all man, look to God. He's faithful. He will show you the way out. When you're in trial, when you're in temptation, God will never change. Will always meet the believer who looks to Him where they are in His Word. That is at the heart of His righteousness. It's not just about something He says. It is who He is and it is what He does. That's the righteousness of God. Character and action. You know, the Word of God needs to be heavy in our life. I think it was the Prinsloes telling me this meme or something they saw the other day where the guy's on the scales, you know, and he looks down and says, you know, well, the armor of God must be really heavy on me today. The scales are pretty high, you know. How heavy is the Word of God on us? The armor of God. I like to use that as an excuse sometime, maybe, right, for my weight. The armor of God weighs a lot. But His words will never fail. Look at number 3 here, 139 to 140. We resist other loves other than God. Here's the passion for God David has, the seeking. Strategy 3 for a righteous response in an ungodly world in 139 to 140. David reiterates the need to resist the other loves that are all around him, that distract us. The people living in selfishness, living in unrighteousness, it seems to be good at times. And even people who say they believe in God will not take the love for God's truth, as David's already shown us this, right? They won't take it seriously. The world is full of other loves. People, like he said earlier, they're half-hearted towards God's Word. He says, I hate the half-hearted, he said earlier. But the question is, how will we respond to this over time? Will we become numb to it? Or will we have a passion burning within us? Pray that we'll have this right for God, for His righteousness that is given to us in Christ. Will we have a zeal? Will we grow to not in apathy, right, but in a passion for the ways of God? In other words, it's not enough. Yes, we do have to refocus on God. Yes, we do have to reflect on God's Word, point one and two. But there's to be in that a growing passion, right? A zeal for what God's Word in righteousness and how it affects our life, what it really means. The righteousness of God's truth means God's character and God's action. So when David sees that so many are ignoring what God's righteous Word means, even people who say they believe, he seems to say, he's consumed when he sees this with a passion as the enemies of God, or these people have forgotten the words of God. And it doesn't mean it's just like they had a memory lapse of what God's Word says. No, they've chosen to ignore it. They've gone off into other things. They don't think about what really matters in the righteousness of God. Even the people who seem to should know God's Word and know God's covenant, he seems to say they've ignored it. They've gotten caught up in these other things. And this seems to have done David in. He's so passionate about this. And the point is, not that they forget again in the sense of memory, but they have lost sight of what it really means in real life. But here's the thing I want you to see. It seems to me, it's the tears David sheds over their turning from righteousness and ignoring God's truth that protects him from temptation to turn away himself. And it's what helps him remember God's Word is tested. It is proven. It was tested in David's life, but it is proven like gold, refined gold. It's very pure. That's the idea there. It's tested. Therefore, he says, your servant loves it. That's the purity idea here. Truth is found to be pure like gold, taken through the fires. That's why David loves the Word of God. He loves the righteous God of the Word and the Word of God, that is God's righteousness. Those two things go together. And so he comes to a place of stability, though he's reeling in his feelings. He comes to trust in the Word of God. You know, I was reading about this prominent architect in Japan in 2006. He was arrested and accused of falsifying the earthquake proofing certificates that they use there on a bunch of these high-rise buildings in Tokyo. You know, obviously it's an area known for earthquakes, and only the highest quality of standards have to be used to protect people from dying. But this man was falsifying the records, claiming that those buildings were something they weren't. And of course, he got in massive trouble. But it's a picture, I think, of the way the false loves and false idols of this world are. They draw people in. They distract them from what is true. They deceive them, pretending to give something that they never will or can. Ash said that, you know, the things of the world are constantly saying, give your life to this, devote your life to this. This will have you what you need, will give you what you need. But the very first trial and shake of the earth, it's going to fall down. That's the problem. Remember, Jesus told us God's Word alone is tried, tested, and true, and you can build your life alone on knowing and obeying God's Word. He said that in Matthew 7, right? The end of the Sermon on the Mount. If you build on the rock of knowing and doing God's Word, then when the storms of life come, they'll stand. It'll stand. You'll stand. At times, living by God's righteous Word, to live in the way God says, it's not easy, is it? It can be a bit scary, a bit risky. People living for themselves, ridiculing us, persecuting, ignoring God's truth. To kind of slide into that way can seem the easier route. But David's saying, no, don't do that. Proverbs says, right, there's a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to where? To death. Proverbs 14. So number four, recall. Look at this where he goes in 141. Recall your purpose from God. Here's perseverance. that we see strategy 4 of a righteous response in an ungodly world in 141. There is the person of God who is righteous. There are the promises of God's word we reflect on. There is a passion for righteousness that the Christian seeks after. But here we see the need for perseverance for God as we recall God's purpose for our lives. Someone said, when we are ridiculed in the world, we should faithfully recall the Lord's word, that we want to be committed to obey it, to not forget it, because the world is going to treat what God calls right as weak, as useless often, and out of date. And that's it'll feel risky again, as I said, at times to respond with faith and obedience to the righteousness of God. But we need to recall God's purpose, don't we, in that, to persevere. We will feel insignificant, David says. See what he says here? He says, I felt small, weak, but I remember your precepts. I will not forget. I, David says, will not forget your precepts. We're going to have those times, right? Well, we feel that way, but we remember God has chosen, Paul said in Corinthians, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and the weak things of the world to shame the powerful. And as we recall God's word, we remember Jesus said the way of righteousness in God's kingdom, it's what? A big wide gate and road? No, he said it's a narrow way. He said the road to destruction is broad, right? Yeah, a lot of people go on it. Seems great, but it leads in death. But the way of God's kingdom is narrow, but it leads to true life. It can seem attractive to go that way, but remember the purposes of God, the faithfulness of God to walk in His way, to walk in a way of faith and growing righteousness and right living, and to live in the way God's called us to. And what does it show us when we look around and see that so many go this other way, right? And they live their own way and seem to be fine and all that kind of stuff, and they ridicule that would say, we're narrow-minded. What does it show? Well, it shows, yes, I feel weak often at times and feel insignificant as a Christian, feel like the minority as a Christian, but it reminds me when God says it's the right way that I'm trying to live in the way that matters the most. So David says, they forget your precepts, God, but I won't forget them. The world is constantly telling us, live for status, live for self, live to be a somebody, live to be clever, climb and do all these things. But God says, don't forget my words. David says, I will not forget your words, your precepts. Number 5 thing as we close here, and that's rely on the strength that God gives us. Look at where David closes this section in 142 to 144, the permanence of God's eternal life. Strategy 5 is that we rely on this strength from God. So David seems to come full circle as this stanza ends in these last 3 verses. David started out saying, righteous you are, O Lord, your judgments. And now David knows that though the world accounts him and us as Christians as little, as weak, despised, he says God's righteousness that we live in and for is what lasts forever. This world is frail. This world is fading. We are weak. This world breaks down. It doesn't last. But God's righteousness and His Word that we build our lives on, if you're a believer, I am, that's what we do, it will never fade. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the righteous Word of our righteous God goes on forever. So as one man said, I sing not because this age is comfortable, but David says because God's commandments speak of the age to come where I'll not be despised. I'll be with Christ forever. So he's saying rely on this strength that comes from God. And he gives us a few things as we close here. First, there's a foundation, an anchor. Look at 142. Your righteousness is everlasting. Your law is truth. So the world around us, the lies that are told by politicians and bosses and neighbors and even friends and family, that's true. But God never lies. He is perfectly right in all He says and does, perfectly just in who He is. And we need to remember that. That's why God's laws are not arbitrary, David's saying. They are the truth, and we rely upon them. Spurgeon said, we can't say of them, the law of God, they contain truth. They are. truth. That's the realization. That's the foundation David's been driving home. God's righteousness comes from His person that never changes. And it's a part of an everlasting kingdom of His righteousness. And then the focus we have to have in 143, look at what he says. Here's the reality. We have to abide. There's an anchoring, but we've got to abide in truth. He says, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, but your commandments are my delights. Where's your delight and mine? May we abide in the truth of God. There's troubles all around us. He talks about outward trouble and inner anguish here. But he says, I delight in the word of God. I abide in God's truths. And there's the joy that God gives me in that. And then finally, if you look at 144 as we close, here's where I said he prays at the end. He asks for God to renew him, to form him in Christ and renew him. He says, the righteousness of your testimony is everlasting. Here's the prayer. Give me understanding and I shall live. And all of this is where David is praying in this section. He's saying, I know you never change, Lord. You're righteous. I know your word is righteous. I know that's where life is. So help me to understand it. To know your word. Not just say, oh, well, I know the general idea about it, but help me to grasp it. To grasp godliness in Christ, in the word. That's where life is. So he asked that I'll understand. As one man said, the way you tell me, Lord, to live is always right. Help me to understand it so I can live life to the fullest. Didn't Jesus say that? I've come to give you life. John 10:10, and life to the fullest. Well, we ask for that, that God will help us to understand more of His word and His righteousness, where life is in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Him now as we close. Lord God, You alone have the words of eternal life. Lord, we know there's all kinds of vying voices around us, shouting at us or whispering to us that that's life. That's happiness. But Lord, remind us, alone in You and in Your word and in the gospel of Christ is life. And may we grow in it. May we understand it. May we see You at work through it in our lives, that we'll continue to be anchored in it. And Lord, that we'll be able to be those who point others to the way of life that's alone in Jesus Christ and in Your word. We ask for Your blessing, Lord, in all of this, in Jesus' name. Amen.